Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Appreciate you so much. Father, we ask your grace today, your wisdom today, your understanding. We need all the grace you can give us in the days ahead. And Lord, we thank you for your mighty Passover through Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you that we can remember, even as we study what's going on, we can remember the Passover is ours. But the wisdom behind the things that are happening are helpful too. So thank you so much, Father, for opening our eyes today. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the chemtrail situation, because a lot of people don't give a lot of heed to what we've been studying because they don't necessarily believe in this. So let me touch on a few things here that I think will be helpful. First, I'm going to share an article called Chemtrail Flu. Is it for real? Well, in a way it is for real, but in a way it's not for real because it's not flu. And of course, they're getting rich treating you for the flu, but the flu shot doesn't touch this stuff. Okay? They're getting plenty enough money to pay for their chemtrails. The elite that own the factories and everything else also are in it with the pharmaceuticals and are making lots and lots of money off of people. But the flu doesn't leave you the way this stuff leaves you. It attacks your immune system, so that it really can't be tracked. You know, yes, they can call it flu, and they know they have an epidemic of flu, but the immune system weakness opens you up to so many more things that they're not saying it's coming from the chemtrails, and it is. Okay? Okay, this is from Catherine Frompovich. She says, is there such an unhealthy and debilitating condition as chemtrail flu? Not certain there is. I'm certain, after I've done the research here, I'm certain there is no such thing as chemtrail flu. There is something that acts as flu, and it is coming from the chemtrails, and it's not being treated as with the flu vaccines. Okay, but she says, not sure there is. I decided to do some exploration to find out what's out there about it. Now, here's where you're going to get to some truth, I believe. However, I'm positive that there is such a malady medically documented and called multiple chemical sensitivity, MCS, which often produces flu-like symptoms in most people who are affected by it, especially during its acute stages. All allophilic medicine has a love affair with chemicals because their quiver of medicines are made from toxic man-made chemicals, prescription pharmaceutical drugs. So apparently and universally, physicians and researchers who deal with pharmaceuticals cannot and will not declare chemicals are the cause of health problems. Yes, because they make lots of money too by pushing these chemicals. And so they're being bribed into it and desensitized. Okay. On with the article. Chemtrails being laden with super toxic chemicals and heavy metals, plus other ingredients like mycotoxins, mold spores, mycoplasma, human white blood cells, type A, desiccated human red blood cells, etc., probably can mimic MCS symptoms, especially since everyone has to breathe chemtrail-laden air particles, all while the human immune system is being assaulted big time by these horrendous toxins. Now, I'm not giving you this to put fear in you. We are immune. And this is the way you are immune, is by claiming it. The Lord said, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Pay attention to God's word. Now, But what can we learn from this, okay? We're not, if you have fear, it's because you don't have faith, okay? So I'm not giving this to you to cause you to fear, but just so you'll be wise, because a lot of people are ignoring the things we've already said because they don't even believe in what they're doing with the chemtrails, okay? Some call chemtrail flu chemtrail syndrome. I've been calling it chem crud. And she quotes geoengineeringwatch.org, which is a good place to find some things out about it. And chemtrail syndrome, a global pandemic of epic proportions. Yes, that's true. So let me go on with the article. What follows is a fairly exhaustive list of symptoms associated with chemtrail spraying. Each symptom has been identified by various individuals who have clocked their occurrence with the onset of chemtrails being laid down over their homes or businesses. This list has been organized in a descending order with the most commonly experienced symptoms at the top. Headache. That's real common. Brain fog. Real common. Fatigue is real common. Low energy, compromised immunity. That's the one that gets you in trouble with so many things. And again, these aren't even listed. When people die of these things, they're not even listed as the chemtrail flu or flu. Now, what they're calling flu out there is overwhelmingly the chemtrail crud. Disorientation, difficulty paying attention and concentrating. Sinusitis, skin discomfort, irritation, joint pain, muscle pain. A lot of this is from the aluminum getting into your body, which again, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. Command that to be gone from your body. Command the poison to be gone from your body. Asthmatic. Breathing difficulties, dizziness, insomnia, memory loss. Flu doesn't really do that, does it? Eye problems, blurred or fuzzy vision, nausea, liver problems, gallbladder dysfunction, tinnitus, that's ringing in the ears or high-pitched sound comes after the spraying a lot of times. Neck pain, scratchy throat, allergy symptoms, hay fever, out of season. Yeah, flu-like symptoms. Susceptibility to colds, general weakness, anxiety, lightheaded or faint, depression, coughing, sneezing, shortness of breath, vertigo, anger, rage, frustration issues. Morgellons disease. Okay, you probably can look up some of those. Zen Gardner says in Chemtrail Flu, have you had it yet? That's another article, which when I send out this link, you'll see it on here. Okay, but back to the article. The mainstream media is reporting that hospital emergency rooms are jammed with patients suffering from a bizarre upper respiratory infection that doesn't quite seem like a virus. That's because it's not. And they are reporting that it's a mystery flu, which it's not, and that the flu vaccines are ineffective against it. True, because they're made to combat flu, and this is not flu. Okay. But they are getting rich off of the flu shots, so they don't really care. And talking about one of the chemtrail ingredients, mycoplasma, Gardner and Dr. Lynn Horowitz, who's pretty famous for doing research on all this stuff, although they tried to make him look like a nutcase, he's not. Tell what it does to the body. That's another article in here. Then he speaks on mycoplasma. It's not really a fungus. It's not really a bacteria. It's not really a virus. It has no cell wall. It goes deep into the cell nuclei, thereby making it very difficult to mount an immune response against it. It's a man-made biological weapon. This is the truth. And they've been spraying us with this for years now. As long as they want to just make money, they don't need to kill people, although they are killing a lot of people. They can just make people sick. When you make people sick, they treat them with the things that these people sell that are spraying you. Okay, so the patent report explains how it causes chronic upper respiratory infections that are virtually identical to what's going on right now. Chemtrails destroy your immune function. And then here's the online patent information for pathogenic mycoplasma, and also isolated from AIDS patients. Another of the chemtrail ingredients, barium, can produce adverse symptoms affecting the nervous system. And in addition to flu-like symptoms such as muscle weakness and tremors, difficulty in breathing, stomach irritations accompanied by diarrhea, anxiety, cardiac irregularities, high blood pressure, rapid heartbeat, and even paralysis. According to Russ Tanner, there are several types of chemtrails. We've all noticed that they're different. Okay, here's his list. Salty, metallic, iron, aluminum, drywall dust. These are what he calls, these are his descriptive names for what this looks like. Acetone, have you smelt that? Yeah. Swamp water, pharmaceutical, sulfur, blunt metallic, metallic chemical, pesticide, freshly cut grass. I don't remember that one. Dryer sheets, fabric softener, model cement, burnt plastic, which he describes on his webpage. Personally, I find Tanner's chemtrail description types quite an ingenious identification process, which may explain much about the abnormalities we experience in outdoor ambient air quality. Yes, true. At times, I have experienced a dry, acrid-like odor outside, plus different colored sooty spots on my car. Have any readers noticed something like this in the air? Yeah, we've noticed a lot of things on our cars and in the air and so on. Well, what else did I find out? Well, here are some probably little-known factoids about chemtrails. In Bill H.R. 2977, introduced into the 107th U.S. Congress in 2001, chemtrails were referred to as an exotic weapons system. How about that? It is a weapon. The chemicals used in it are biological weapons. Number two, supposedly chemtrail spraying over humans in the USA gained its legality from U.S. Code Title 50, Section 1520, which gives the Secretary of Defense authority to order testing involving the use of chemical agent or biological agent on civilian populations. Did you know that? For research purposes. And, of course, if the people doing it are the deep state nutcases, then you know that they're not really for the population. And that should be brought to the attention of every member of the U.S. Congress and changed immediately, if not sooner. Mike Blair, a Washington reporter, wrote that chemtrails actually are antibacteriological warfare chemicals being tested by the federal government. So, what can we do about chemtrails to protect ourselves? Well, I'm not going to go into that part. You can go and read it yourself if you want to. I don't care for that. We already have our protection. So, I'm going to go on here. Okay? This is interesting. Flu death rates hit epidemic levels in America in 2017. Now, the title goes on here, which is not the part I'm going to read much to you because it's a big mistake. It's really disinformation. I just want that information. But the title goes on to say, are Americans being mass vaccinated via chemtrails against our will? That's disinformation, I'm quite sure of it. This is not a vaccination. It is not for your good, okay? And then there's a map there showing you, you know, the area covered. Very interesting about how close this map is to a map I saw about cancer. Where is the vast amount of cancer in the United States? It seems to line up with chemtrails. Are they trying to give people by taking away their immunity and other things that they're putting in you that are carcinogenic? Are they trying to give people cancer? The map's pretty similar. Okay, so again, I agree with the part about it being epidemic and on and on, but the mass vaccination, I don't believe that. And this is by Stephen Stanford, All News Pipeline. The heartbreaking story from the Dayton Daily News on Monday, which is just one spot, reported that the flu has just claimed the life of a fourth child in Ohio in just the past 2 weeks, and while the overall level of those being hospitalized for flu-related symptoms, which is not true, that's not flu, appear to be leveling off there. We learn in several other news stories, why does it level off? Well, then they change their, you know, what they're spraying, and they go on to another area, you know. We learn in several other news stories from across America that the leveling off happening in Ohio isn't the same case elsewhere. That's true, because they're just getting plastered. As this news story from Fox News reports, flu death rates just hit the epidemic levels nationally, with increasing levels of flu reported to the CDC each week for 3 consecutive months prior to the fourth week of 2017, where the numbers dipped slightly. Again, this is false because it is not flu death rates. It's chemtrail death rates. And in this brand new story from the Tennessean, they report that in Wilson County, Tennessee, the entire school system will be shut down for the rest of this week after more than 2,000 children became ill with flu-like symptoms, joining at least 138 teachers there who also have fallen ill. And we've had that in our area, the hospitals just being jam-packed with these people that they say have flu or pneumonia. Sometimes they call it pneumonia. They're kind of spreading it out to, you know, make it not look so bad. But they should call it chemtrail or chemcrud, right? That mass outbreak of flu coming the very week after a similar outbreak of the flu caused the shutting down of the entire school system in Minco County, Oklahoma. As heard in the third video below, of course I can't show you these videos, but I can, you know, just share some text with you. Shows us just how widespread the flu is in the United States. It's across the United States in 2017. Now, how does it do that? Well, it does it because they're spraying it from the air. That's why it does it. Why does it jump so quickly all the way across the United States? Because they're spraying it from the air. In fact, according to Fox 6, now in Wisconsin, the flu continues to spread across more than 40 U.S. states. And Puerto Rico has been tied to at least 20 deaths, 7 of them just reported, during the week ending February the 4th. The latest report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that over 14,000 cases of influenza A have been reported across the country. There is flu out there, but this is not the flu, and the majority of what's coming down is not the flu. 51 of 54 U.S. states and territories are experiencing elevated levels of flu and flu-like illnesses. Yes. Flu activity is high to extremely high in 24 regions. Alabama, Arkansas, Connecticut, Georgia, Hawaii, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, New Carolina, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and Wyoming rank as the states with the highest level of flu and and flu-like illness activity. Okay. It looks like it is picking up again, which is pretty typical during this time of the year, especially if they want to phase something in and make it look like a flu, you know. Especially when all the schools and colleges in particular go back in session, said Dr. David Topham, Director of Respiratory Pathogens at the University of Rochester. We are hitting at the peak right now, which is pretty typical for late January, mid-February for influenza. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Dead Doctors Don't Lie? I haven't looked at that lately, but you know, there was a rash of microbiologists being killed across the country, and it seemed like a lot of people were getting too close, and people just started dying. Strangely, it was assassinations, of course, of microbiologists, and it was just one right after another, on and on. You can do a search for that. I'm sure you'll find it. It was pretty prevalent, unless they've taken it off the net, but it's pretty, they don't want people to find out what this stuff is and who's spraying it on them and why. And while they also report that according to the CDC and the medical community, all of this is another reason that we should all be getting vaccinated to protect ourselves and others from contracting or spreading the virus. Except for one thing, it does nothing to stop this stuff from the air. And we find this news story from S.D. Wells over at Natural News quite interesting, as they report that President Donald Trump has never gotten a flu shot. Along with his stunner, he's never gotten the flu either. Well, I can tell you, I miss the flu an awful lot. I don't remember the last time I actually had it. But I've never gotten a flu shot. Never. And as their story asks, is this just a coincidence? Well, no. How many people get the flu shot and get the flu? I mean, pay attention. Ask around. You'll find out. You get the flu shot, you get the flu. In fact, that's what they immunize you with, is the flu. But it don't work out that way sometimes. According to a January 2017 story over at your Newswire, in an interview with Ofi and Anthony show on Sirius XM, President Trump slammed flu shots as being totally ineffective. He said, "I've never had one, and thus far I've never had the flu. I don't like the idea of injecting bad stuff into your body." And that's basically what they do. And this latest flu vaccine, has not been very effective to start off with. I have friends that religiously get the flu shot, and then they get the flu. You and I have the same situation, you know. You know, that helps my thinking that I've seen a lot of reports that the last flu shot is virtually totally ineffective. Yeah, for doing you any good. That's not what it's there for. Is President Trump coming out so strongly against flu shots one of the reasons that the globalists stand against him? I would say so. This is their plan. The globalists are headed up by the elite. The elite are the people who have the factories. The elite are the people that are having us sprayed. The elite are the people making the money off the pharmaceuticals. Well, of course. Is President Trump getting in the way of the globalist depopulation agenda? I guess he is. The fact that the flu is so widespread across America at a time when such a high percentage of Americans are getting their flu shots is quite concerning. Yeah, it is. If you want to spread the flu, get the flu shots, because you got it then. And that is flu, but this is not. The chemtrail spraying is not. That's what I'm discovering. And while we aren't medical doctors here at ANP, we do our very best to avoid going to the doctor's offices for anything at all, as well as making sure we avoid being jabbed by the flu shot by building up our immune systems to their strongest level. So just in case we do get briefly sick, it's not long-lasting or severe. Okay, so that's a natural result. But the most important result is what you think and what you say. If you confess God's healing and His health, if you believe in the Passover lamb, if you believe that by whose stripes you were healed, if you believe He will put none of the diseases upon thee which He put upon the Egyptians, if you believe that He forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, if you believe, this is the best, the very best. Of course, these folks don't know about that, so they are reaching for natural remedies. Natural remedies, by the way, folks, can't touch what God does. Natural remedies is man's efforts to save himself. Faith is the real thing that you're going to need, because when this stuff gets worse than what it is, and when they start spraying people with the express intent of getting rid of people instead of just making money off of them when they're sick, then you're going to know something's wrong, because you're natural remedies are not going to work. If anybody has any of their own tricks they can use to avoid, or never mind, I ain't going to read that. Let's see. Each other. Okay, I'm moving on. Moving on from this article. Now, this is probably the most interesting one. Chemtrail flu? ? Okay, you might hear some things that we disagree with, but the information is what's important here. You're sick. Your nose is stuffy. Your body aches. You're sweaty, coughing, sneezing, and you don't have enough energy to get out of bed. It's not the flu, according to Dr. Len Horowitz. His opinion is not based on conspiracy theory, but on conspiracy fact. Over the past 10 years, Horowitz has become America's most controversial medical authority. A university-trained medical researcher, Horowitz, 48, charges that elements of the United States government are conspiring with major pharmaceutical companies to make large segments of the population sick. And that's because they get so much money off of it. The mainstream media is reporting that the hospital emergency rooms are jammed with patients suffering from a bizarre upper respiratory infection that doesn't quite seem like a virus. They are reporting that it's a mystery flu and that the flu vaccines are ineffective against it, and it's not flu, like I said earlier here. That's all hogwash, bogus nonsense, says Leonard Horowitz. The fact of the matter is we have seen this type of epidemic since the end of 1998 and the beginning of 99. People have been hacking and coughing with this bizarre illness that does not seem to follow any logical viral or bacterial onset and transition period. Because of the stuff that's in it, by the way, it is very catching. You know, the mold spore and stuff that they put in it in order for it to spread through coughs and things like that. It's very, very, very catching. But it's designed that way. It's designed to make them a lot of money and make people sick and controllable. He goes on to say, if it was a really bacterial or viral infection, it would have caused a fever, and sometimes it does cause a fever, by the way, but it didn't. It lasts for weeks, if not months, sinus, and of course that's depending upon whether you're trusting in the Lord or not, speaking against it or not, right? Confessing your faith. Remember, Jesus is the high priest of your confession. You know, he offers your confession before the Father. And your confession should be that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, right? Sinus congestion, sinus drainage, cough, fatigue, general malaise. People have been feeling off. The Armed Forces Research Institute of Pathology has registered a patent for the pathogenic mycoplasma that is causing the epidemic. Isn't that interesting? You know, you can find that they have the patent for what you're catching. You can see the patent report in the book Healing Codes for the Biblical Apocalypse. And then there's some videos here which you can study yourself if you want to. Mycoplasma is not really a fungus. It's not really a bacteria. It's not really a virus. It has no cell wall. It goes deep into the cell nuclei, thereby making it very difficult to mount an immune response against it. It's a man-made biological weapon. The patent report explains how it causes chronic upper respiratory infections that are virtually identical to what's going on right now. Chemtrails destroy your immune function. I believe the chemtrails are responsible for a chemical intoxication of the public, which would then cause a general immune suppression, low grade to high grade, depending upon exposure. The immune dysfunction allows people to become susceptible to opportunistic infections, such as this mycoplasma and other opportunistic infections, says Dr. Horowitz. I first began to investigate chemtrails when some were sprayed over my home in northern Idaho. I took pictures of them and then contacted the Environmental Protection Agency of the state, who were clueless and referred me to the Air Force. They got me in touch with Centers for Disease Control, Toxicology, and after about a week, I received a letter from one of their chief toxicologists saying, indeed, there was some amount of ethylene dibromide in the jet fuel, which could be another, you know, misleading thing, although that's what was being sprayed. Okay. Ethylene dibromide is a known human chemical carcinogen that has been removed from unleaded gasoline because of its cancer-causing effects. It's true. It's true. I remember when they took it out, you know, because I worked at a refinery, and they didn't even want us to get that stuff on our hands, you know, so they took that out of the gasoline. So now they're spraying it on you. Now, suddenly, it has appeared in the jet fuel that high-altitude military aircraft are emitting. I don't believe that. If it's in the jet fuel, they put it there. Because we took it out in the refinery, and we made jet fuel. Okay, so I know that we took it out. Okay. Ethylene dibromide is coming out of the jet fuels that is causing immune suppression and weakening people's immune system. Let me say, I bet you it is not coming from the jet fuel. I bet it's coming out of the spray nozzles. Because putting it in the jet fuel would be kind of pointless. I admit they could do that. but it's probably mixed in with all the other stuff, unless it doesn't work with the other stuff and kills the agents that they have in the other stuff, then they might put it in the jet fuel. So I admit it's possible. But I do know this. We made there at that one Exxon plant most of the jet fuel that was used in Vietnam. I got an occupational deferment because I worked there keeping a refinery going, which was making their jet fuel. And I know that we took it out of the auto gasolines and the jet fuels. So there's no way it could have gotten in there, you know, unless somebody put it there. Ethylene dibromide is coming out of the jet fuels that is causing immune suppression and weakening people's immune system. Then you've got a mycoplasma microbe or a fungus that causes the upper respiratory illness. That's the fungus that we were talking about. Suddenly you develop a secondary bacterial infection. Now you get hit with antibiotics. And the antibiotics cause your body chemistry to go acidic. So now you get rashes and other things. Your liver gets full of toxins and comes out through your skin in rashes, and they get hyperallergenic reactions associated with other chemicals. I've got colleagues in the Bahamas, Bermuda, Toronto, British Columbia, all reporting the same bizarre seeding of the atmosphere. What's going on is just despicable. All of a sudden now, you've got human beings completely out of balance, infected by 2, 3, or 4 microbial cofactors, as well as intoxicated by a variety of different chemicals, and you've got somebody who's going to be chemically ill. And there's a bunch of links here. Got chemtrail poisoning, chemtrail flu, call for help here, so on and so forth. Yes, we do. We call for help, all right. From the one who can do something about it. Here, a black budget. The black budget. The Frank Church congressional hearings of 1975 exposed the Central Intelligence Agency biological weapons contracting firms. So these are the places this stuff's coming from. These are the people that are fighting against Trump, and they still have some control over parts of the government and military and chemtrails and so on. Litton Bionetics and Army Corps of Engineers, who were developing and utilizing various biological weapons on populations. The history of the biological weapons on populations is expansive. This particular website has them. It tells you what they did, where they did, backs it up with proof. They've been killing people from the air for a long time. And sometimes it's drive-by. You know, drive by a person's field next to the road and infect the crop, you know. Sometimes it's just drive-by. But a lot of it's from the air now, because they want it widespread. They want it all over America. Okay. And thank God for Jesus, because he has taken care of all this already. You don't have to beg him. You just have to believe him, right? And this is all done under black operations. Well, of course, because they just deny it, you know. Covert operations, where they get funding and congressional people are never informed really where this money is going. It's the black budget, says Horowitz. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they lose $2.5 trillion, you know, just the day before 9/11 it was announced, you know, where is it going? Well, it's not for your good, let me tell you. And in the contemporary warfare arena, where experts in biological chemical warfare convene and discuss the ways that are ideal to conduct warfare today, to really take an enemy out, you don't want to kill the people. You want to produce people who are chronically ill and become dependent upon the state and totally sap the resources of the country. And then you can move in with your military, medical, industrial complex and your international medical pharmaceutical cartel, and then you sell these defeated countries all of the pharmaceuticals and chemicals that they need to maintain any semblance of healthy function. Sounds pretty clear. They're completely depleted. They can't put together a military. You create a dependence, and thereby you weaken the population, and weakened populations are easy to control. So you have population control, and you make vast fortunes doing it, versus just blowing up a nuclear weapon and devastating the infrastructure that you own. You and your colleagues own that infrastructure. You want to get rid of the people. You don't want to get rid of the infrastructure. So who's responsible? What I'm relating to you now is not speculation. If you were to read the top experts, analysts of military warfare, including the report from Iron Mountain, the Rockefeller family is one of the major players in this conspiracy. They are one of the major players in world genocide, world population reduction. There's no mystery anymore. They're completely depleted. They can't put together a military. You create a dependence, and thereby you weaken the population. And weakened populations are easy to control. So you've got population control, and you make vast fortunes doing it. Who's responsible? When you examine who owns the chemtrail fuel, who are the fuel company directors, suddenly you enter into the realm of the Rockefeller family and the royal families. Standard Oil, British Petroleum, the ones who brought you the Gulf debacle, right? And what are their other agendas? Suddenly now you see their documents showing that they have funded historically eugenics, racial hygiene, genocide, depopulation, family planning, maternal and child health, where they make and they deliver vaccines and contaminated blood supplies. These are the banksters, the same people who run the blood banking as well as the money banking industry, says Dr. Horowitz. I reference a great book by Dr. John Coleman, who worked as a British Secret Service agent at the highest levels. He articulated very clearly who was running these companies. It all goes back ultimately to the highest level of the royal family, the Bush family, the Rothschild family, the Rockefeller money, and the entire Rockefeller establishment is based on Rothschild money and royal families. If you can't explain it rationally or any other way, I think you got to begin to consider conspiracy theories and eliminate the negative label that you've placed on conspiracy theories, which have been demonized along with holistic medicine. Yet anything that works, they get rid of it because they can't make money off of it, so they get rid of it. There are things that actually work. And the best thing that works, of course, they'd like to get rid of is Jesus. They're working hard to do that too, because they're Satanists. The ruling crime families are making vast fortunes off of humanity's suffering. The Rockefellers monopolized American medicine in the 1920s. They, along with IG Farben, German leading industrial organizations, held the monopoly on the world's chemical and pharmaceutical industries. The Rockefellers and IG Farben worked together before World War II and during World War II. For all practical purposes, the Rockefellers and IG Farben were the Third Reich. Who else is involved? And you know what happened to that. I mean, the United States brought them into the United States with all their crooked dealings and all of their satanicness, and brought them into the United States because they thought they had something great there to make war on other people. So, who else is involved? The Merck Pharmaceutical Company. Their president, George W. Merck, was America's biological weapons industry director during World War II. Isn't that something? Talk about a conflict of interest here. He was personally appointed by President Roosevelt and Secretary of War Stimson. The Nazis planned for the New World Order. They even had a term for it, Nueva Ordnung, I guess, if you like my pronunciation, which means New Order, New World Order. This today, this New World Order, is the rise of the Fourth Reich. This is precisely what they envisioned and then carried out on a global scale. The goal of the Fourth Reich is population control and genocide. 99.99% of Masons have no clue what they're really up to at the highest levels. They give you increased knowledge at every higher degree of Freemasonry. You know, the best way to deceive people is gradually. Just bring them a little bit further. They get settled on that and they get comfortable with that. They go against their conscience a little bit. And then you take them to the next step and you do the same thing until finally they're just conscienceless. So, and they give you increased knowledge at every higher degree of Freemasonry. And when you get beyond the 33rd degree, you get to the highest indoctrination into what's called the ancient arcana, the ancient sacred knowledge described in the book Healing Codes of the Biblical Apocalypse. That's where the devil doers who are running this planet are nesting. True. How does a person become that high in Masonic organization? Through bloodlines. You've got to be major royalty. Major royalty, ideally a descendant, or you've got to be somebody who is very close to the royalty, the major bloodlines. And who are they targeting? Well, you can look at the same people and who they targeted overseas. They killed as many Christians as they could. And I do believe that that's the areas that they spray the most heavily, is a high density populations of Christians. I'm using the term Christian loosely, like everybody else is using it, but we know what a Christian is. A Christian is Christ-like, and you can't spray a Christ-like person and hurt them. Jesus was immune, and he passed that on to his sons. Not necessarily his children, but he did pass it on to his sons. And so who are they targeting? Who are they targeting for genocide? If there's an attempt underway to reduce the population of the planet, why isn't it happening? What makes you think it's not? Looking at countries like those in Africa, third world nations that have been heavily targeted with HIV and AIDS, and consider that 73% of HIV/AIDS patients in America today are black or Hispanic. Statistically, 55% of gay men in America are already dead. Are you seeing depopulation specifically targeting minor groups now? Minority groups now? Of course, it's happening right now. They don't want to totally eliminate populations completely. They just certain populations. And isn't it, from their perspective, wonderful They got a covert depopulation agenda that nobody's picked up on yet. It's ideally what they want to produce. It's not just about the money. I think there's a satanic or evil ideology, because Nixon himself said, referring to the Rockefellers, it's not about money for these people, it's about power. That's right, they want power. They want to control you. And the reason they have this is because they are satanic. Satan wants to control the earth, and he wants to control it against God, as we know from the scriptures. The Monopoly game. At the end of the Monopoly game, what do you do? One person wins. They own all of the real estate. They own all of the assets. They've wiped out all other players out, and the game is over. Hey, does this sound like something that happened around the time of Joseph, with the Pharaoh ending up owning everything? It sure does, doesn't it? You can out the game any way. You can out the game away in your closet. But you don't do that on planet Earth. The person who wins at the end of this world monopoly game, gets to rearrange the board. And that's precisely what we've seen in the last year. You've seen not the biggest fish eating the biggest fish in international commerce. You've seen the mega whales eating the mega whales in these mega mergers. All these little companies that are producing your vitamins are a subsidiary of a major conglomerate. Today, a Warner, Lambert, or Glaxo, Welcome, all of these huge, huge corporations own all the little fish. They buy them out. So again, now the game board gets to be changed if they desire. And apparently that's what they desire. That's their agenda. You can see it. At the Denver airport, there's a capstone in the main terminal building dedicated to the New World Airport Commission by the Freemasons. And there's a big colorful mural that is dedicated to the extinct human species. And in the foreground, against the horrific backdrop of flames and destruction, there are three open coffins. Another video there. Again, we'll send out the links and you can look at them for yourself. Okay, here's an article that I can only give you pieces of because most of it is videos. But the picture on the front of the article is a picture of Marge Simpson with a plane, chemtrail plane flying over, spraying, and she says, "Looks like the start of flu season." Yeah. Again, there's articles on here. Chemtrails experimenting on the public. A video. Increasing concerns that flu viruses, toxins, and biological weapons released by aircraft and other methods are fully justified. Well, of course, they think so. And one, of course, is that they're trying to inoculate you from the air. And there's a lot of other things out there. There's a lot of disinformation. No, we just read the truth about this. The history of secret operations to infect population with disease is a matter of public record. And here are only two. In fact, there's two here, but there's quite a few. Was the Spanish flu deliberate genocide? On and on and on. It's amazing how much of this has been done by man, killing man. Amazing. Of course, I can't read every one of these, but I'll just touch on a couple. How about that? Human experimentation. This is EMBO reports. Human experimentation, modern nightmares, and lone madmen in the 20th century. During the past century, more than 500 million people died of infectious diseases. Several tens of thousands of these deaths were due to the deliberate release of pathogens or toxins, mostly by... Well, he starts back as far as the Japanese, okay? mostly by the Japanese during their attacks on China during the Second World War. Two international treaties outlawed biological weapons in 1925 and 1972, but they have largely failed to stop countries from conducting offensive weapons research and large-scale production of biological weapons. And, of course, the way they perfect this is they try it out on you. And as our knowledge of the biology of disease-causing agents, viruses, bacteria, and toxins increases, it's legitimate to fear that modified pathogens could constitute devastating agents for biological warfare. As you can see, they have a patent for it, so they want to make sure nobody beats them to killing you, right? So, to put these future threats into perspective, I discuss in this article the history of biological warfare and terrorism. So, who are the real terrorists? During the Second World War, the Japanese army poisoned more than 1,000 water wells in Chinese villages to study cholera and typhus outbreaks. Is that the only reason they wanted to study it? Just study it? I mean, how many people did they wipe out? Man has used poisons for assassination purposes ever since the dawn of civilization, not only against individual enemies, but also occasionally against armies. And then there's a table of that. However, the foundation of microbiology by Louis Pasteur and Robert Koch offered new prospects for those interested in biological weapons because it allowed agents to be chosen and designed on a rational basis. These dangers were soon recognized and resulted in two international declarations, in 1874 in Brussels and in 1899 in The Hague, that prohibited the use of poisoned weapons. However, although these, as well as later treaties, were all made in good faith, they contained no means of control, and so failed to prevent interested parties from developing and using biological weapons. And once an enemy starts using them, you're tempted to do the same. The German army was the first to use weapons of mass destruction, both biological and chemical. During the First World War, although their attacks with biological weapons were on a rather small scale and were not particularly successful, covert operations using both anthrax and glanders, another table here, attempted to infect animals directly or to contaminate animal feed in several of their enemy countries. After the war, with no lasting peace established, as well as false and alarming intelligence reports, various European countries instigated their own biological warfare programs. In other words, to defend themselves. You know, when the enemy's got a weapon, you got to have one at least that good, you know. So now it spreads all over the world, right? Because they don't know Jesus Christ, who said, love your enemies, do good to them, despitefully use you. That would not work for them. Long before the onset of the Second World War, this happened. And then there are different tables here, different articles you can read. And he goes on to say, in North America, it was not the government, but a dedicated individual who initiated a bioweapons research program. Sir Frederick Banting, the Nobel Prize winning discoverer of insulin, created what could be called the first private biological weapon research center in 1940. With the help of corporate sponsors. Soon afterwards, the U.S. government was also pressed to perform such research by their British allies, who, along with the French, feared a German attack with biological weapons. And there's, you know, related links here you can go to prove all this, but I'm not going to those. And even though the Nazis apparently never seriously considered using biological weapons, a note to where you can find that. However, the Japanese embarked on a large-scale program to develop biological weapons during the Second World War. It was always called the poor man's nuclear weapon, right? And eventually used them in their conquest of China. Indeed, alarm bells should have rung as early as 1939 when the Japanese legally and then illegally attempted to obtain yellow fever virus from the Rockefeller Institute in New York. So these people have been behind a lot of it. The father of the Japanese biological weapons program, the radical nationalist Shiro Ishii, thought that such weapons would constitute formidable tools to further Japan's imperialistic plans. He started his research in 1930 at the Tokyo Army Medical School and later became head of Japan's bioweapon program during the Second World War. And here's a link to proofs of that. At its height, the program employed more than 5,000 people and killed as many as 600 prisoners a year in human experiments in just one of its 26 centers. The Japanese tested at least 25 different disease-causing agents on prisoners and unsuspecting civilians. During the war, the Japanese Army poisoned more than 1,000 water wells in Chinese villages to study cholera and typhus outbreaks. Japanese planes dropped plague-infested fleas over Chinese cities or distributed them by means of saboteurs in rice fields and along the roads. Some of the epidemics they caused persisted for years and continued to kill more than 30,000 people in 1947, long after the Japanese had surrendered. Ishii's troops also used some of their agents against the Soviet Army, but it is unclear as to whether the casualties on both sides were caused by this deliberate spread of disease or by natural infections. After the war, the Soviets convicted some of the Japanese biowarfare researchers for war crimes, but the USA granted freedoms to all researchers in exchange for information on their human experiments. In other words, we don't want to stop you, we want to know how to do it. Yeah. In this way, war criminals once more became respected citizens, and some went on to found pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. Ishii's successor, Masashi Kitano, even published post-war research articles on human experiments, replacing human with monkey when referring to experiments in wartime China. Did you notice that? He replaced, quote, human with, quote, monkey. So they claimed to be operating on monkeys, but they were operating on humans. Although some U.S. scientists thought the Japanese information insightful, it is now largely assumed that it was of no real help to the U.S. biological warfare program projects. These started in 1941 on a small scale, but increased during the war to include more than 5,000 people by 1945. The main effort focused on developing capabilities to counter a Japanese attack with biological weapons, but documents indicate that the U.S. government also discussed the offensive use of anti-crop weapons. And there's quotes here. Soon after the war, the U.S. military started open-air tests, exposing test animals, human volunteers, and unsuspecting civilians to both pathogenic and non-pathogenic microbes. A release of bacteria for naval vessels off. Nobody really knows what the Russians are working on today and what happened to the weapons that they produced. So this is off, excuse me, a release of bacteria from naval vessels off the coasts of Virginia and North and San Francisco infected many people, including about 800,000 people in the Bay Area alone. Bacterial aerosols were released at more than 200 sites, including bus stations and airports. That's a famous place to release stuff because then it goes in every direction, right? The most infamous test was the 1966 contamination of the New York Metro system with Bacillus gobigii, something like that. I mean, I had that right. A non-infectious bacterium used to simulate the release of anthrax in order to study the spread of the pathogen in a big city. But with the opposition to the Vietnam War growing and the realization that biological weapons could soon become the poor man's nuclear bomb, President Nixon decided to abandon offensive biological weapons research and signed the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention in 1972, an improvement on the 1925 Geneva Protocol. And although the latter disallowed only the use of chemical and biological weapons, the BTWC also prohibits research on biological weapons. However, the BTWC does not include means for verification, and it is sometimes ironic that the U.S. administration let the verification protocol fail in 2002, particularly in view of the Soviet bioweapons project, which not only was a clear breach of the BTWC, but also remained undetected for years. Yes, the Soviets were big on this, and of course their weapons and whatever have been passed on down. I'm sure Russia inherited all that. And even though they had just signed the BTWC, the Soviet Union established BioPreparat, a gigantic biowarfare project that at its height employed more than 50,000 people in various research and production centers. The size and scope of the Soviet Union's efforts were truly staggering. They produced and stockpiled tons of anthrax bacilli and smallpox virus, some for use in intercontinental ballistic missiles. So you'd have more than just nukes to cause you trouble, you know. And engineered multi-drug resistant bacteria, including plague. They worked on hemorrhagic fever viruses, which are really terrible. Some of the deadliest pathogens that humankind has encountered. And when virologist Nikolai Ustinov died after injecting himself with the deadly Marburg virus, his colleagues, with the mad logic and enthusiasm of bioweapon developers, re-isolated the virus from his body and found that it had mutated into a more virulent form than the one that Ustinov had used. Yeah, so you never know when this thing is going to jump stages and be out there in a different and worse form. And few took any notice, even when accidents happened. In 1971, smallpox broke out in the Kazakh city of Alask and killed 3 of the 10 people that were infected. It is speculated that they were infected from a bioweapons research center on a small island in the Aral Sea. In the same area, and other occasions, several fishermen and researchers died from plague and glanders, respectively. And in 1979, the Soviet secret police orchestrated a large cover-up to explain an outbreak of anthrax in Sverdlovsk, and now Ekaterinburg, Russia, with poisoned meat from anthrax-contaminated animals sold on the black market. It was eventually revealed to have been due to an accident in the bioweapons factory where a clogged air filter was removed but not replaced between shifts. The most striking feature of the Soviet program was that it remained secret for such a long time. During the Second World War, the Soviets used a simple trick to check whether U.S. researchers were occupied with secret research. They monitored whether American physicists were publishing their results, and indeed they were not. And the conclusion was, correctly, that the U.S. was busy building a nuclear bomb. The same trick could have revealed that the Soviet bioweapons program much earlier, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, most of these programs were halted and the research centers abandoned or converted for civilian use. Nevertheless, nobody really knows what the Russians are working on today and what happened to the weapons they produced. Well, you do remember A.A. Allen's vision of planes flying over the pole and across the nation and spraying and people falling dead in the streets. Of course, we may be leading up to that. In a way, we're in it now. But we may be leading up to that with the plague revelations that we're receiving. And I'm not sure that any of that's coming from the Russians. Okay. But before the end of America, we could be getting something from the Russians, because we're going to have not only a biological attack from them, one that will probably wipe out Britain, but also a nuclear attack from them. Okay, so keep that in mind. Nevertheless, nobody really knows what the Russians are working on today and what happened to the weapons that they produced. Western security experts now fear that some stocks of biological weapons might not have been destroyed and have instead fallen into other hands. And then there's links for that too. And according to U.S. intelligence, South Africa, Israel, Iraq, and several other countries have developed or still are developing biological weapons. It's a wonderful world, isn't it? Nasty way to die. It'd be better to go in a nuke, wouldn't it? Apart from the state-sponsored biowarfare programs, individuals and non-governmental groups have also gained access to potentially dangerous microorganisms, and some have used them. Hey, let me say, have you noticed how nutty the left is, and how much hatred is there? And it's totally unreasonable. It's just exactly like the faction that the church is going through. These people are demon-possessed. Do you trust them to run the country's biological weapons? No, because their conscience is seared. We noticed that with the faction in the church. They have no conscience to obey anything that's godly. And now these people have taken control of parts of the government, and had not Trump come in there, it would have continued on until they wiped out Christians in that particular way. But entering a danger area now, because we're finding out that the deep state is desperately trying to get rid of Trump. He's won on quite a few battles here, and they've been backed into a corner. They're leaving, fleeing the CIA and fleeing the feds because they think that prosecutions are coming, and I'm convinced that they are. And even tomorrow, which is the 15th of January, they say there's going to be an extreme release of so much information against the enemy that they're desperately trying to stop that by any means possible. So it's a possibility anything could happen. And they've also planned to take out the White House by some kind of a 911 attempt. And the president was planning to not be in town for this release of information on the 15th. He was planning to go to Britain, but the Russians' intelligence let them know that they were planning to assassinate him there. And so he has stayed in town. We're in plan B now. And I don't know exactly where he is, but I wouldn't think it'd be wise to be in the White House. You saw what happened when a missile took out the Office of Naval Intelligence. That's because that's where it was aimed. That's where it hit. You know, these are the people that planned the whole thing. You saw what a missile did to a building there. How can you stop a missile coming in like that? You know, not much. And yet, the deep state has, you know, access to just such weapons and worse. So, I mean, how you can defend the little old White House, I have no idea, you know. But anyway, they're worried, and they're, I'm sure that we don't know everything that Trump's doing to defend his government. And but at any rate, these people are desperate to get rid of it. So, reading on, a few examples include the spread of hepatitis, parasitic infections, severe diarrhea, gastroenteritis. The latter occurred when a religious sect tried to poison a whole community by spreading salmonella in salad bars to interfere with a local election. Huh, about that. The sect, which ran a hospital on its grounds, obtained the bacterial strain from a commercial supplier. Similarly, a right-wing laboratory technician tried to get hold of the plague bacterium from the American Tissue Culture Collection and was only discovered after he complained that the procedure took too long. These examples clearly indicate that organized groups or individuals with sufficient determination can obtain dangerous biological agents. And all that is required is a request to colleagues, quote unquote, at scientific institutions who are probably just as nutty as they are, right? Who share their published materials with the rest of the community. The relative ease with which this can be done explains why the numerous hoaxes in the USA after the anthrax mailings had to be taken seriously, thus causing an estimated economic loss of US $100 million. These examples clearly indicate that organized groups or individuals with sufficient determination can obtain dangerous biological agents. Another religious cult, you probably remember this one in Japan, it proved both to the ease and the difficulties of using biological weapons. In 1995, the Aum Shinkro cult used sarin gas in the Tokyo subway, killing 12 train passengers and injuring more than 5,000. Before these attacks, the sect had also tried on several occasions to distribute non-infectious anthrax within the city with no success. It was obviously easy for the sect members to produce the spores, but much harder to disseminate them. The still-identified culprits of the 2001 anthrax attacks in the United States were more successful, sending contaminated letters that eventually killed 5 people and potentially even more seriously caused an upsurge in demand for antibiotics, resulting in overuse and thus contributing to drug resistance. Well, we don't know who did that, you know. We don't know if somebody in the government eventually did that. We know that they did blame people that weren't guilty. So they were obviously trying to hide who was guilty. So how long is our own government? And I haven't gotten to that part, and I probably won't get to that part, and may not, but I'll let you look at the articles and read that part yourself. But the United States has done the same thing as these countries. One interesting aspect of biological warfare is the accusation made by the parties involved, either as excuses for their actions or to justify their political goals. Many of these allegations, although later shown to be wrong, have been exploited either as propaganda or a pretext for war. Now, you know, the deep state has been trying desperately to start a war. They've tried several times, and they failed several times. By the grace of God, we prayed against this war coming before the Revelation 6 war. And we prayed that, you know, it wouldn't come before then. And so far, the Lord has been faithful to bat these down, even though they've caused destruction. So I would say that's a good thing for you to pray for. Pray against their... They want to distract from all of what they've done by starting a war. So, back to our text here. Many of these allegations, although later shown to be wrong, have been exploited either as propaganda or as a pretext for war, as recently seen in the case of Iraq. Yes, you know, all of the proof that they had for Iraq, and it was all a bunch of baloney, right? It's clearly essential to draw the line between fiction and reality. There has to be some proof, and you can't take the president's word for it or anybody else's word for it. Obviously not the FBI or the CIA. You can't take their word for nothing, you know. They lie. They lie because they want to do what they want to do. It's clearly essential to draw the line between fiction and reality, particularly if on the basis of such evidence, politicians call for a preemptive war or allocate billions of dollars to research projects. Examples of such incorrect allegations include a British report before the Second World War that German secret agents were experimenting with bacteria in the Paris and London subways, using harmless species to test their dissemination through the transport system. And although this claim was never substantiated, it might have had a role in promoting British research on anthrax in Portendown and on Grunyard Island during the Korean War. The Chinese, North Koreans, and Soviets accused the USA of deploying biological weapons of various kinds. And this is now seen as wartime propaganda, but the secret deal between the USA and the Japanese bioweapons researchers did not help to defuse these allegations. Later, the USA accused the Vietnamese of dropping fungal toxins on the US Hmong allies in Laos. However, it was found that the yellow rain associated with the reported variety of syndromes was simply B. fakies. The problem with such allegations is that they develop a life of their own, no matter how unbelievable they are. For example, the conspiracy theory that HIV is a biological weapon is still alive in some people's minds. Well, it is in mine. I don't know. Depending on whom one asks, KGB or CIA scientists develop HIV to damage the USA or to destabilize Cuba, respectively. Conversely, in 1997, Cuba was the first country to officially file a complaint under Article 5 of the BTWC, accusing the USA of releasing a plant pathogen. And although this was never proven, the USA did indeed look into biological agents to kill Fidel Castro and Frederick Lumumba of the Democratic Republic of Congo. We are witnesses of a renewed interest in biological warfare and terrorism, owing to several factors, including the discovery that Iraq has been developing biological weapons, several best-selling novels describing biological attacks, and the anthrax letters after the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. As history tells us, virtually no nation with the ability to develop weapons of mass destruction has obtained from doing so. And the Soviet project shows that international treaties are basically useless unless an effective verification procedure is in place. Unfortunately, the same knowledge that is needed to develop drugs and vaccines against pathogens has the potential to be abused for the development of biological weapons. Yes, it's so easy. Thus, some critics have suggested that information about potentially harmful pathogens should not be made public, but rather put into the hands of appropriate representatives. It's true. I mean, they make these discoveries and they publish it around the world, and people use those same ones that they think defends mankind for the destruction of mankind. So, it's crazy. It's like all over the internet where people show you how to make an atom bomb. Why would they do that? A recent report on anti-crop agents was already self-censored before publication, and journal editors now recommend special scrutiny for sensitive papers. And there's articles on that. Whether or not such measures are useful deterrents might be questionable, because the application of available knowledge is clearly enough to kill. An opposing view calls for the imperative publication of information about the development of biological weapons to give scientists, politicians, and the interested public all the necessary information to determine a potential threat and devise countermeasures. The current debate about biological weapons is certainly important in raising awareness and increasing our preparedness to counter a potential attack. It could also prevent an overreaction such as that caused in response to the anthrax letters mailed in the USA. However, contrasting the speculative nature of biological attacks with the grim reality of the millions of people who still die each year from preventable infections, we might ask ourselves just how many resources we can afford to allocate in preparation for a hypothetical human-inflicted disaster. Because so much of the research obviously ends up coming against us. Kind of like the weapons that people have supplied to enemies in the Middle East to overthrow regimes, they turned around and used them on us. You know, it's amazing. It just goes on and on and on. And I don't want to bore you with any more of this, but the history, you know, comes right on down to today of the madness that the government has turned into, you know. There needs to be a total overthrow of the deep state, a cleaning out of the paperclip group from Germany, and I do believe Trump is in the process. How far he goes, I don't know. But it would be good for you to pray for them to do something about this, to overthrow this, to overthrow this this chem crud that they're spraying on people. We've received words about major judgments coming upon the United States. I've tossed around in my mind whether we are supposed to pray against these things. And the amazing thing is I've come up with the answer, in at least this last case, being no. God is very clear in His Word who is going to escape this, and that He has total control over it, and that He is going to use it to take out enemies of Christianity, enemies of the United States, etc., enemies of the church, people who are poisoning the church, people who are leaven are supposed to be, according to 1 Corinthians 5, kicked out of the church, and yet the church does not obey that, so it's leavening, it's destroying people of God. the Lord has said that he's going to use this against people that are, well, as I told you, something that may be unpopular, but that there are certain people that he wants to use greatly in these end times, and yet they're unequally yoked with people who have some sort of control over their lives. And the Lord has pointed out, well, Michael was pointing out the other day, five or six people, that it seems that the Lord has already told us are going to die. People that we know, not necessarily people in our local UBM, that's not true, but people that we know that are going to die, that have some sort of control or restraint upon people that he wants to use. And that the Lord is going to deliver his people from Babylonish bondage one way or the other. We're still in the Red Sea process. It's, I believe, speeding up right now with the information from investigations all coming forward. It could cause some terrible things, but it's apparent that it needs to be done. And that the Lord is in control of where this stuff goes, of what's going to happen. He's in total control. We can trust him. If you feel indifferently or you have any proof differently, well, you're welcome to let us know about that. But so far, we're seeing, you know, even one day I was asking our morning prayer group if they would ask these questions, go home and ask these questions of the Lord, is it possible to overthrow this thing? And before we got through at the meeting, I retracted because the question to go and do research on, because it was very clear to me that the Lord was going to use this thing and it wouldn't be stopped. So, be that as it may, we do know we have a Passover lamb. We do know that if we will eat all of the Passover lamb, which much of Christianity, which is not really Christianity, has not done. Now, Christianity is Christ-like. Christianity, it was called, they were called Christians. They were full gospel people. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They had the gifts of the Spirit. They were called Christians because they walked and talked and did miracles and signs and wonders like Jesus did. So those kind of people who are sanctified and hungry to get the word out and so on, they're not really likely to get taken out of the way. They're useful to the people around them, useful to the world, useful to the church, etc. It's the wicked that are not useful, that are in the way, that the Lord is going to remove. And, well, you know, it's not my desire, but it is my understanding that the Lord's going to use this for that. And he is going to deliver people that are unequally yoked. We're forbidden to be that way. However, when you come to the Lord, if your mate or your partner in business or whatever doesn't come along with you, then you end up in that situation. And in some cases, you can extricate yourselves. In others, the Lord will move upon that person to leave you to extricate you from that situation. And in some cases, he just takes them out, you know, to deliver you from that situation. And I believe some of the things that are coming are going to take a lot of people out by death because they are leaven and because they are unequally yoking people that are should be free in God's kingdom and free to go into the wilderness. And might I say that there are leaders of apostate Christianity that are the most dangerous people out there to Christians because they are unequally yoking themselves to these people. And who would go into the wilderness? I mean, they would huddle around these people that they respect. If these people are not removed or saved or delivered in one form or another, they're going to fight against Christianity, real Christianity, all the way to the end. And so God's got a plan. to set his people free to go into the wilderness behind the man-child ministry, which is the type and the shadow we see in the scriptures. He's got a plan to do this, but it's going to have to be in setting some people free. So anyway, that's where we are now. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, to bless the brethren. We know that you have our good at heart. We know that you work all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But, Lord, we also have prayed to you for mercy for those that we have asked to come into the kingdom. We know that you'll do that too. We know in some cases people have mates that they are unequally yoked, but they're believing you, Father, to save their mate, and that you will do it because they've asked in faith, believing, and you are going to do it. But also, we've received revelations where people who are scheduled to be taken out will be saved as they're taken out. And so we still believe and we still pray and we still speak to people that we want to bring into the kingdom. We want to fulfill the great commission of our Lord Jesus in bringing people into the kingdom, both by prayer and by words of faith and by words concerning the gospel. And so we thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you for bringing in our loved ones. We thank you for preserving those who are ignorant of these things that we would very much like to tell them about. We always want to tell our relatives about what we're learning, but after a while they just pass it all off, and you can say too much. But we still pray to you, Father, that they will be saved. And they may not understand these things that are coming upon the world, but you're able to keep them safe, even through the midst of all of this, so they can be a witness to your gospel. So, Lord, we're putting our faith in you, Lord, to draw families and friends and peoples and the elect among the nations. We're putting our faith in you, Father, to bring these people in. Obviously, people who pass away in their sins will not enter in. And so we're just asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to remember our prayers. And Lord, we pray against these crazies out there that are killing multitudes of people and even their ignorant people that are helping them, not understanding what they're doing, like possibly some of the people flying those planes up there. You know, I know of one in particular. I've talked to him. You know, he's always got a glorious idea about what he's doing, and I know better. And he doesn't want to listen. You know, I know better. But he's been given a line about how useful he's being to the country and the people and so on and so forth. So, you know, they can be just totally deceived. And God can open their eyes. One such man gave a great testimony here a year or two ago. He was dying from the stuff he was spraying. And he got the revelation of what it was, you know. The toxins that he was dumping on people. And then he was coming out of the closet and telling people concerning, you know, what was going on. You know, an insider, a whistleblower. That was cool. And there, Lord, you can do that for more of those people. You can save them. You can open them up to reveal all these hidden things. You said there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And we believe that, Lord. We're asking you for it in Jesus' name. We're asking for all the hidden things that the evil, wicked government and their satanic leaders, their shadow government are doing, that it'll all be revealed and disposed of. Thank you, Father. We send forth the angels to protect President Trump and his wife, whom we received a dream recently that they were going to try to destroy too. We, of course, prayed against that. We cast it down. Today, Father, we cast down their attempts to destroy this conservative government for what you're using them for. And thank you for putting your protection round about Trump and his cabinet and his government and all out in the country where these people are needed and necessary. And we pray, Lord, for them, that you will protect them from these things. Obviously, the plans of the deep state will go awry again. And God will use their own weapons on them, just as you said about a person laying a trap and falling into it themselves. There's a Red Sea coming, and they're not going to avoid it. We proclaim it so. We thank you, Father, for this great destruction of the wicked who have purposes and have purposed in their mind to destroy your people and to destroy the people of America for their own greedy gain. And Lord, the chemtrails are no different. We come against that plot and scheme, as so far, Lord, you've just used it as training for us just to learn how to overcome it by faith, claim it by faith, to be immunized by faith. And it's really actually been good for those who have a desire and an earnestness to walk by faith. The righteous shall live from faith, and if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him, says the Lord. So, Lord, yes, these things not going to bother the people who have faith and are under the covenant and who believe that Jesus became accursed for them so that they might have Abraham's blessings. It's not going to harm these people. They're just going to learn and become immune and so on. You know, it's interesting that we have become immune in the past here locally to these things as they were coming at the time, and then some new stuff comes along. We can tell it's new because of the smell and other things. It's different. It's different. And when it comes along, there's some testing, and that's usually overcome by those who know it's important for us to walk by faith. And no doubt they keep changing this for a reason, and that they could change it drastically for the worse anytime soon. But Father, we put our trust in you. We know that you've given us the victory in Jesus Christ, that you will put none of the diseases upon us that you have put upon the Egyptians, for you are the Lord that healeth us. And of course, that promise was given to those that paid attention to your word and obeyed your word. That's who that promise was for. So therefore, there are religious kingdoms out there that claim Christianity, but are not, because we know what Christian is. It is the original covenant people, the way the original covenant worked, the people with power, not the powerless people. And we know that that's who it's for. And these are the ones that can take advantage of your Passover, Lord, and that many others who have just kept your people in bondage are going to pass away or change their mind. So, Lord, we put our trust in you for your miracle-working power in our midst. We thank you for strengthening us by your power. We thank you for what you're doing in preparing your man-child and bride and witnesses to do their coming jobs in the days ahead. Lord, we know that there's going to be a great revival, and there are people that are going to realize and get the revelation that these people with power are needed, and that they can't make it without them in the days to come. And that their methods that they've been taught are useless against the weapons of the enemy, because you make them so. You make them useless. The works of man cannot defend us. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. He's going to be like a heath in the desert. Won't know when good cometh. So, Lord, we're thanking you, Father, in Jesus' name, for training up your people, preparing them for these days ahead, making them mighty warriors, making them people of faith, raising up your people to fight the good fight of the faith and to lay hold on life eternal. Thank you for this, Father. Thank you for answering our prayers consistently through this long battle with the deep state. Thank you for answering our prayers and continuing to do that. Lord, we are sending forth the angels as you instructed us to do certain jobs, and we can see that they're doing exactly what you said they would do, and that is go forth and bring to pass the commands that we've been given. So thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. We regularly used to get, and still do sometimes, the Sennacherib scenario, where that one angel killed 185,000 of the enemy, of their mighty warriors, their mightiest warriors, and of course they decided it was too expensive, so they turned around and left their attack upon the bride. They had already conquered the northern 10 tribes. They'd already conquered them, but they were conquering Judah, which is the spirit-filled groups. But as they led up to Zion or Jerusalem, which is the bride, they were conquered instead. Isn't it interesting that they didn't have to lift a finger because of the righteousness and holiness that was there? They didn't have to do a thing. It was the Lord's battle. He took care of it, and he took them out. And I said for many years that Babylonianism is going to conquer God's people, all the way up to Zion, and then it's going to fail. Well, there we are. We've come that far, and it's about to happen. And I do believe there's a parallel in the government, Father, in which the government also is going to be protected. The capital of our government is going to be protected, just like the capital of Christianity, which is Zion, which is the bride, is going to be protected. And if it only takes one angel to protect Jerusalem, it can't take many more to defend our government and to deliver the people from this Babylonish bondage, which Cyrus was ordained to do. And besides that, Lord, there are people that think, well, Trump may be taken out now. Well, no, he can't be, because you've told us, Lord, that he's Cyrus. And Cyrus was paralleled in the scriptures, as we've taught in the past and shown clearly, with the Red Sea. And he has to conquer Babylon. He has to bring it all the way down. And besides that, after conquering Babylon, which we would consider to be the Red Sea for Pharaoh and his army, after conquering Babylon, he also went on to be useful and helpful in rebuilding the kingdom of God, even the temple of God. And so it looks to me like Cyrus is going to be here for a little while and be helpful, even though he'll have greater and greater things to have to put up with, Father. But we thank you that you're going to keep him and you're going to deliver him from this evil. Lord, I know that politicians don't do well when they're purely Christian. But somewhere in between, you know, where they're used as a vessel in which worldly things can be done that are against Christianity, but still according to your will, for them, not for us. And so you have vessels there which are going to do this. People who are purely Christian don't work good in governments at all because they want to go by kingdom principles, and they're dealing with something that's not the kingdom of God, and a lot of people haven't discovered that yet. So, Lord, we know that you're faithful. We know that you're wise. We know that you will give them the knowledge that they need to know to do the job that they need to do, and that some of the things that we have, they can't receive right now, and it would be detrimental to the job that they have to do. So we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we've sent this series on the pestilence your warning about the coming pestilence to the president and through other people. And we pray that he will get some revelation of what's going on here, although I do not believe he will be able to stop this biological attack that you have warned us about. You've warned us to get ready. You've warned us to be prepared to live through this thing. You've warned us to be paying attention to our Passover so that we can live through this thing. But the death angel did pass over your people, and it did strike the Egyptians. And it was the reason why your people were set free. So there was a good purpose involved. I'm sure that people could have thought, well, we can pray this thing away. But the Lord said, no, there's got to be a Passover. And we're coming to the spring, which is the natural time of Passover. The natural time. However, we've been dealing with a spiritual spring, which is resurrection life out of winter, which is resurrection, which is death, spiritual death. So many times, Lord, you give us a gradual revelation of what you're saying to us. You hide these things from the wise and prudent, but you reveal it unto babes. You gradually give us more and more understanding of what is actually being said in this parable. And so, Lord, we're thanking you. We're thanking you for the understanding that we have, that even before natural spring, there can come a spiritual spring and an anointing of both the man-child and the bride. And at the same time, unequally yoke people who have gone through some kind of homeschooling, spiritual homeschooling, and have been crucified by, in many cases, even a mate or a business partner or whatever, or people out there that just persecute Christians and hate true Christianity and the Word, you know, factious people, you know. And Lord, you've used all these crucifixions for the good of your people, for the peaceable fruit it has worked in your people. We thank you so much for that. And we're putting our total trust in you, Father, that you're able to bring us through all this. Give us wisdom. Give us anointing. Signs and wonders and miracles are coming. Glory be to God. We're even seeing some now. Glory be to God. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. And thank you for joining us today, saints. Keep us in prayer. Please continue to pray for the government and to cast down the works of the enemy in the government and in the church. Please continue to pray. And please continue to do the work of the Great Commission. God bless you. Good night.